I said, well, it's in your blood, but it can be covered under the blood. Amen. Yeah, they were laughing. Them girls sent something with little Holden. And Stephanie said, he gets that from his pawpaw. That's in his bloodline. It's in his DNA. I said, yeah, I got to admit, it's in the blood, but praise God, it's been covered under the blood. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, you know what? God knows exactly where that stone's at.
Yeah.
Ain't no doubt about it. And he's more than able to guide you to it. He is. And that's what we'll be praying for. He'll just guide you to it, bring you to it. Quite a few times I've misplaced something or dropped something or something got lost and kids lost something or things got lost in the yard while they were playing and just prayed. And I'd look and I'd look and I'd look. And I'd be praying though and he guided me to it, but still you have to go look. It ain't going to come to you. Yeah. You got to go look for it. And sometimes I'd find it. I'd be searching. I'd get down there and look, get on my knees looking and going through the grass. I'd be have them come back out. Tell me, where was you at again? I fortunately found a lot of different things as a result of that, but there's been times where I didn't find stuff. But for the most part, I can honestly say I come across it. And I didn't always come across it right then. I may find it a week later, 2 weeks later, 6 months later. Just bam, there it was. I mean, I wasn't necessarily looking for it, but I came up on it, where it was at. Think about that parable in, what is it, Luke 15, that one parable with three stories. You had somebody lost a piece of silver, a coin. Had somebody lost a sheep, a creature. Somebody lost a child, a son. And in each case, that which was lost was found, and there was rejoicing. Amen. When it was found. Amen? Yeah, amen. Right. It was found. It was found. In the picture, ultimately, of us, that Jesus is in the business of finding that which is lost, going after those lost sheep, until it is found. Amen? That one sheep. He said it's worth it. It's worth it. No doubt about it. How does he see it? A sheep without a shepherd is lost. It's lost. Perishing. It's perishing without a shepherd. I know that's important to you. We'll rejoice with you too. Be expecting a phone call, amen, or a text. I found it, I found it, I found it. What happens? You call your neighbors, right? And let them know that which was lost was found. Mm-mm. All right, let's look in Acts. We are in Acts. We're up to chapter number 13 in our reading. I'm sure some of you may have gone into a little further. That's all good. Anything you want to talk about tonight that just helped you, encouraged you, spoke to you, ministered to you, enriched you, something that you just got to get out of you, we are all ears, ready to look at it, talk about it, celebrate it. Amen. Chapter 13.
But 33.
Okay, we're looking at Acts 13 and verse number 33. Verse number 33. God has fulfilled this for us, their children.
Amen.
God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. You are my Son, today I have begotten you. God has fulfilled this. What has he fulfilled? Well, he says in verse number 31, says he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And he says, and we declare to you glad tidings, good news. That promise which was made to the fathers. This is something that has not been hidden. This was a promise that God had foretold on many occasions, through many different prophets from the very beginning of the fall of mankind, that God was going to send a Redeemer, that women don't have seed, women have eggs, And it says that the woman's seed shall bruise that serpent's head. That seed is referring to who?
Jesus.
That seed is referring to Jesus. There's no doubt that it's been told time and time again, these glad tidings, this good news of the Redeemer. Well, God has fulfilled it.
Amen.
He has fulfilled it. God has fulfilled this for us, their children. Whose children? The Father's children. Who are the Father's children? We're talking about those lineage that came through Adam and Seth and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, all the way down to when Christ came to be part of the brethren, that prophet that he would raise up among the brethren. That's them children who had the covenant promises. But you remember, God's already said on numerous occasions, it wasn't just for them alone, that it was also for who? For the nations, for the heathen. The word Gentile means the heathen. For the rest of the world that was without God, that didn't have the promises of God, that Jesus would be, this child would be for the light of the Gentiles. Paul's going to talk about it. He talks about it in chapter number 13, that he would be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And so, but he mentions it as well. They'll go back and look in chapter number 3. Look in chapter number 3. This is a hint toward as well. Watch this. Chapter number 3, I think this is one of the most pivotal words in all Scripture. I want you to think about it like this. When God repeats a thing, chapter 3, when God repeats a thing, there's a reason for that. And if He repeats it three times, there's a significant reason why He highlights it three times. Moses mentioned this first in Deuteronomy 18. Moses said, God's going to raise up for you a prophet. He's going to be like me from the brethren. He's going to be like from us. He's going to be a man, but he's going to be a prophet like me, but he's going to be different than me. In the sense that he not only is he going to be a man, but Jesus is also God in flesh. And he mentions it here in chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you. That goes along to them children, Brother Shannon, that chapter 13 is talking about. For you, a prophet like me from your brethren, you shall hear him in some things. What's y'all's translation say? Hear him in what? So we're to hear Jesus in all things on life. In all things. Things about life, things about death. Things about darkness, deception. Things about deliverance and redemption. Things about salvation and eternity. Things about food. Things about marriage. Things about relationships. All things includes what? So whatever Jesus had to say about a thing, we are to what? Hear what he said about it. Listen how this reads. He says, you're to hear him in all things, whatever he says to you. It is our responsibility to hear what he said about a matter.
Amen.
And remember, whatever he said about a thing is more important than the thing.
Come on.
So what he says about my life is more important than my life. What he has to say about my life is more important than my life. Because I can live a life not knowing what he said about my life, and in the end of my life, I'll find out that my life wasn't as valuable as I thought it was because it didn't include what he said about my life. He adds value to my life when I hear what he has to say about it. And that's why the scripture says he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He adds the quality of eternal life to us when we hear what he says. So we're to hear him in all things, whatever he says. Now, the problem with that, notice how what I mean by it's important to hear what he said, because if we don't hear what he said, the problem is verse 23. And it shall be that everyone, or you can say whosoever, will not hear the prophet, meaning Jesus. What's the consequence if you don't hear him? You'll perish. You'll perish in your lostness. You'll be destroyed. So, I mean, that right there says that everything that we do in life ought to be a result of what we've heard from the prophet,
Amen.
Jesus. Everything we see, do, hear, talk, whatever it is, should be rooted in and the result of hearing from Him.
Come on.
Three times. Who else is going to mention it? Stephen. He's going to say the same exact thing in chapter 7. For Moses said God's going to raise up a prophet like him from the brethren. That prophet is being Jesus. So when God brings it up in Scripture verbatim three times, we better pay attention to it.
Come on.
Better pay attention to anything He says, but when He says something three times, He's really wanting us to grab it. Amen. Not only does He say that three times, but there's something else He says three times in the New Testament. Three different occasions, He said these words, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." Hear Him. Hear Him. Three different occasions He says that. Hear Him. Remember when they were, Jesus was talking about if He be lifted up, He shall draw all men unto Him. He was talking about the resurrection, that His death, burial, and Him being lifted up by the Father, He would draw all men unto Himself. And a voice came from heaven and said, "Hear Him." And remember at the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter went to talking, when he really should have been silent, he says, "Lord, I'm glad we're here. We can build three tabernacles for y'all. We can get all this set up." And a voice from heaven said, "Shh, it ain't what you can do, Peter. Hear Him. Listen to Him." Why? Because that's the essence of life, is hearing from Him. So God says if a man doesn't hear Him, he'll perish. He says that three times in the Scriptures. And we're to hear Him in all things and everything, because He is everything. And if He is everything, we need to know that what He says about everything. And then on three different occasions in the 27 books of the New Testament, we hear Him say specifically, "Hear Him. Listen to what my Son has to say." If there's anything you do in life, you need to listen to Him. Hear Him. That's the essence of walking with the shepherd, with the Lord. But watch how this unfolds, though. You read down a little bit further, verse 24. "Yes, and all the prophets," here we go, "from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also done what, Brother Shannon? Foretold of what?
Of these days."
That's what chapter 13 is saying. God's promised it. He promised it to our fathers. He fulfilled that promise. Verse 25, "You, the Jew, them, are all sons of these prophets. And you are sons of the covenant which God made with our fathers." There's that word father that He's talking about, with Abraham. And then He says, He told Abraham, "and in your seed." Notice that. Is that plural or singular? Tell us about it, English teacher. What is it? It's singular. Not seeds, but one seed. And what seed is He referring to? He's talking about Jesus. That's the seed. Now, what is that seed going to be? He's going to be a what to the nations, to the families of the earth? What is He going to be? Listen to what He says. "And Abraham, your seed, all the families of the earth." That would be what? Jew and? "He shall be blessed by Him." And then this word, verse 26. "To you Jews, to you sons, that it's been promised to you what? First." That means there's going to be somebody else come along. If it's going to be to them first, that means God's got intentions to get it to somebody else too. So to you Jews, it came first. I think Paul mentions that in Acts 13. Didn't he say they went to the Jews first, and seeing they rejected it, then they turned to who? You see, so this includes us. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Because that's always been God's plan. That's always been God's purpose. So it's not just for the Jew that they need to hear Him. We need to hear what He's got to say. And we submit ourselves to hear Him and to hear Him in what He wants to bless us with. And notice what verse 26 says. "To you first, God having raised up His servant Jesus, He sent Him to bless us in turning away all of us from our" what? "Our iniquities." Everything that was opposed to him, everything that didn't line up with him, everything that was a lie against him, every wicked way that twisted anything, he said, hey, he sent him to bless you, to turn you from that. So to turn you from that, that meant he sent him to bless you, to turn him to himself. Amen. And to God be the praise, so we could hear him. Amen. Man, this is it. This is what we get to do. This is the blessings that we have. And that's exactly what is reiterated again and again as we go in through the book of Acts. They were proclaiming that, hey, God raised up Jesus and sent him to us. That first raise, go back to 13 where we was reading. Verse 32 again. And we declare to you this good news, that particular promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this promise for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus. That raise up means that he sent him, birthed him in Mary's womb, raised him up under the nurturing care of Mary and Joseph. And when he was ready to reveal him and make him known to the world for who he was at about the ripe age of 30 years old, he come on the scene with his first miracles and all that he was doing. All this is saying that that's that raising up that he's talking about. God brought him. He raised him up, brought him to a place where he was without sin, and that he laid his life down on that cross. He raised him up on that cross according to his determined and predetermined will. He shed his blood. He was a sacrifice for God and a substitute for us. God raised him up and he died on our behalf. And then the second raise up that he mentions is this in verse number 34. And that he raised him up from what? The dead. That's speaking of his resurrection. So God raised him up for the cross and then raised him up out of the grave to validate everything he did in life with him, so that we could see the promise was fulfilled. That he is struck. You could hear him. You can listen to him. You can rest your life upon anything he says, and you can die for it, and you will not lose in dying for what he said, because God has proven it by way of his resurrection. He is the faithful and true witness. You can depend on him. Amen? Amen. That's the good news. That's the glad tidings. Go look in Luke 1, we'll see this. Look in about verse number 67, I believe it is. Luke 1:67. This is John the Baptist's dad, who is filled up with the Spirit. So he's under the inspiration. He's under the influence of the Spirit. God's speaking through him. Scripture says, now his father Zacharias was influenced with the Holy Spirit, and he proclaimed, he prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for what has he done? He has visited. He has come. He has visited and redeemed his people, and has what? Raised up a horn, a strength, a stability of salvation for who? For them Jews, but also what? For us. Because we know it was them first and then us. In the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. We done read two separate scriptures in Acts that's already validated that same thing. God spoke it. The prophets proclaimed it. God fulfilled it. It was all fulfilled in Jesus. Verse 71, that we should be delivered or saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To perform, to complete, to fulfill the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Verse 74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness, and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Good night. That's a message.
Amen.
You've heard me say it before. God never delivers us from something without delivering us to something. So this saving work, this delivering work, is to deliver us from our iniquities. Our iniquities, that wickedness, it hates us. It's part of our flesh. It's part of that wickedness, that hatred. The world that operates without seeking God is part of that enemy. Satan is part of that enemy that we've been delivered from so that he could deliver us to unadulterated and unashamed service all the days of our life. That's the deliverance that Jesus came to give us, that we can deliver him without fear, unashamed, unadulterated, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, served before him. Amen?
Amen.
Man. So he never delivers us from something without delivering us to something. He takes us from the grip of darkness, deception, and death, and delivers us into the light and love of the kingdom of his Son so that we can walk with him, hear him, serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Man, you can't get no better news than that. Amen?
Amen.
That's the good news. And that was a promise that he made to the fathers. That was a promise of his mercy. That was a covenant that he gave. And as Paul preached, he has fulfilled it. This Jesus, whom he raised up and sent to bless us, to turn us from our iniquities, has fulfilled it. And that's why God says, you got to put all your stock in Jesus. Why? Because God put all his eggs in one basket. If we could use modern terms, he put all his marbles on Jesus. Everything is on him. And if everything's on him, we better put everything on him. Amen? It's just that simple. And if we don't, man, we can only anticipate an ugly consequence. And that's really objective of what we get to do from day to day. We're watching people around us. We're observing those that we work with, around, live with, serve with, and we're looking for how do they handle hearing and heeding and honoring Jesus on all things, whatever he has to say. And if there's no indication of them hearing him and seeking him and honoring him and going to him, if that's not even anywhere in their life on the radar, we know we're dealing with somebody that hadn't heard from this prophet and that they still need him, you know. They hadn't been delivered from where they are and delivered into his service. That's not saying you're going to do that perfectly, by no means. But there are going to be markers in your life that are going to identify this person seeks what he has to say about life, what he has to say about relationships, what he has to say about marriage, what he has to say about everything in life. They want to know what Jesus has to say. A born-again believer, redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, wants to know Jesus, wants to know him more intimately, wants to know what he says about life.
Amen.
And if there's nothing there in that, we know that, hey, this person is still perishing. They're still lost. They're a lost sheep. They're somebody that Jesus laid his life down for. They don't really know that yet. Yeah, they may have heard it. They may have gotten tired of hearing it. They may just blow it off, but it hadn't taken root in them as of yet. Because if it had, they're going to want to hear him on everything. Amen? They're just going to. It's just inevitable. They're going to want to hear from him. Can't help it. It's what the new man, that compelling factor that drives them. It's that 2 Corinthians 14 where Paul said, we've judged thus, that if one man died for all, then all died. And those that live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose for them. That's that compellingness that constrains us. That's that work of God within us, of the love of God that's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Look in Romans 5 real quick. Look in Romans 5. Y'all don't let me get carried away now. We'll run. Y'all know I got all night. Romans 5. these passages here, some of these great truths. Beginning in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, and the justified man lives by faith. So therefore, to live by faith, you got to live from what? Hearing. Faith only comes by what?
Hearing.
So the man that lives by faith is a man that lives by hearing. That's the identity of a justified, righteous man. He's not righteous because of his own self. He's righteous because of something God's done for him and in him. But now this person can hear from God. They're hearing from him, and therefore they live by hearing. That's the idea of the just living by faith. And by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And being reconciled to him is everything. Being at peace with him. Through whom, Jesus, also we have access by hearing from faith into the grace in which we currently stand. We stand in this gift that God has given us. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory, the blessed hope of the glory of God. That God hadn't left us here alone. Remember what Jesus said, if I go, it's better off that I go. Because if I go, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm coming back to live in you. But we're not staying here forever. That's an obvious thing. This is not our permanent dwelling. We're not going to be here forever. We have what Titus would say, grace teaches us, we got the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming to get us.
Amen.
We got that hope in us. That's in us. We're looking for that. And then he says in verse number 3, and not only that, not only do we have hope of what's coming, but we have a hope in what is present, what's going on in our life right now. He says, because we know that we glory in the tribulations, in the troubles that we have to face. This is where James 1, count it all joy when you enter in the troubles and trials and testings. Why? Not because of the trouble, but who's coming in the trouble with you? Whose presence is committed to you in the trouble? Who's going in the battle with you? God's committed to you. Amen. He's committed to you. And you know he's going to be with you. Why? Because he's at work doing something in your life. We know that tribulations work toward perseverance or patience. It's building a patience in it. That's where James says, let patience have its perfect work. Don't rush it. Don't try to get out of it. Relish in the fact, not that you're in the trouble, not that you're going through the trial, but that God's doing something in the trial with you to make you more like Jesus. Because the end is you want to be more like him. So give it time. Let patience have its perfect work. What you need, James says, you need wisdom. So ask God for wisdom to deal with where you are, because the wisdom is going to be something he's going to deposit in you as you're going through the trouble. He's going to give you the solutions to bear through the trouble, but that wisdom is going to be characteristic of him. People begin to see him and him at work, and you become a witness for him in the trouble because of what he's doing. And perseverance, verse number 4, works character. That's that character of them seeing him. And character works hope. This anticipation, this expectation. Verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, need not be ashamed of. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit, which was given to us. You know what it just says there? That we have a hope that, number one, we stand in this grace. We don't have to be ashamed of that. It doesn't disappoint. His grace is sufficient. God doesn't have to get me out of it. I just need him to go in it with me. I need him to lead me through it. I need his grace to bear me through, to help me. He's never promised me he'll keep me from things. He just said he'll take us through things. Paul said, I need you to take this away from me, God. God said, I'm not going to fix it, Paul, but I am going to fix you for what you got to deal with. So we have that hope. We have the hope that the trouble is a means by which God, we could call the trouble furnaces, of his victory. Furnaces of victory. He's putting us through the furnace. Remember, a furnace is either going to ruin you or it's going to refine you. It's all what you're made of when you enter into the furnace. It's all made of who goes in the furnace with you. It's all made of who is orchestrating the furnace for you. You see, if it's just a world way of going through the furnace, the fires have power and they'll ruin you. But if you go in with some gold and you go in with some silver, if you go in with God in the furnace, the only thing that gets burnt is the dross, the impurities that are on your life, and God refines you and the gold shines through, comes out the other side. It's all what you're made of when you go in. You put wood in the furnace, what does it do? Put gold in the furnace, it just refines it. It comes out better than it was when it went in. Amen? You put a believer in a trial, he just comes out better. He comes out better every time. Why? Because who is putting him in and through, who's in the fire with him, he comes out better as a witness to God's wisdom and wonders than he was when he went into the flames. Amen?
Amen.
And no matter what we have to face, here's the thing. Why does hope not disappoint? Because God has poured his love into us by way of the Holy Spirit that I don't have to question and wonder why he is putting me through this. Why do I have to go through this trial? Why am I in this test? Why do I need this wisdom? Why do I have to persevere through? I don't have to question that, because not only does it build hope, but God has poured his love into me that I don't have to question his trustworthiness nor his reliability. Everything he is doing and done is out of his great love for me. Amen. And for his glory. Amen. This is the heartbeat of what we see in here, is that we don't have to question where we are right now. We don't have to question what we're going through. And the reason why our expectations never disappoint is because God has poured a measure of his love within us. So that we're not questioning his love for us. And when you're not questioning his love for you in this, you don't then have to question the problems that you're facing in it, because you know he's committed to you. And that's why that hope that he builds in us never disappoints, because of his presence and of his love poured into us while we end through the hardships and the difficulties, the things that we didn't want to have to face in life, but we face them with him who is refining and defining who he is in us before the world around us. And it's a delivering work. Amen. And so this is what we see with these guys again and again, all the way through the book of Acts. That's why they rejoice when they were persecuted. Because Jesus told them, you don't have to question me and my reliability to you. You count it all joy. Great is your reward in heaven. You're going to be rewarded for this. There's no need to look for it down here. You'll be rewarded in heaven. The reward down here is you either gain a brother and you gain reward, or when they persecute you, you gain reward in heaven. It's a win-win thing walking with Jesus. You're just not going to lose, amen, walking with him. It may look like it. You may be ripped and torn and tattered in every kind of way in this physical world, but you're winning in the fiery furnace when you enter it in with him and walk with him in what he has in our lives. So it's all so rich and good. Why are you in Luke? Well, did we ever go back to another passage? We did. We went to Romans. Look in Luke one more time. This is what we need to happen in our life. We'll see it. This is what's going on in Acts right now. This is what he prophetically told them was going to happen. He's telling us the story of what Jesus began to do, Luke 24, what he began to do and teach. And remember those disciples when they thought Jesus wasn't alive? What was their spirit? They were down. They were downcast. Was he alive?
Yes.
Have you ever walked around? Have you ever functioned in this life in a way that that if people saw you and watched you, they wouldn't have any clue that you believe Jesus was alive? Think about it. That happens to all of us at times. But to be the witness that He's called us to be, this is the thing. One, we got to have a living Savior that we know is alive. That He is alive. We got to know. He is alive. He wants us to know. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what He did. He came to Him and showed Himself to them again and again. We have a living Savior. He is alive. The Son is alive. The presence of Jesus. This is what we need. This is what they had. You can't help but see it. All these men and these women, when they were serving God in the book of Acts, remember, doing what Jesus did, teaching what Jesus taught, continuing that work, there was not one question in them if He was alive or not. That's what they continued to preach, His resurrection. He is alive. This is Jesus healed that man in the temple. Jesus raised that man out of that bed as a paralyzed. Jesus raised Tabitha from the dead. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus couldn't do that if He wasn't alive. Amen.
Come on.
For them to be the witness, and I'm going to call this the trifecta. You know, the trifecta. You got to have these three things: a living Redeemer, a living Savior. He's got to be alive, and we got to be excited about Him being alive in us and through us. We see that. But look in verse number 44. When He came to them, this is Luke 24. Then He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Acts 13 that we started off with, that Brother Shannon, he said he's fulfilled them.
Yeah.
Everything that they said about Him, that God would raise Him, He sent Him, He raised Him up, He's fulfilled that. He's fulfilled the resurrection. He's alive. He is alive. The trifecta of a witness is we got a living Savior. Verse 45, He says, "And then Jesus did what to them? He opened their understanding that they may what? Comprehend." You got to have living Scriptures alive in you as well. He's got to make them alive to us. Everything these guys preached in the book of Acts was taken from the Old Testament. That's what they preached. They had a living Savior and living Scriptures living within, and that's what they kept drawing from. This is what God said. This is what God fulfilled. This is what God said. This is what God fulfilled. This is Jesus. This is what He said about Jesus. Everything was founded on those Scriptures. You got to have the living Scriptures living alive, because the Scriptures, that He is the Word. And you can't just know that I've got a living Savior. You got to have the living Word living within you that illuminates all that God has said, because we want to hear Him on what He said about a thing so that we can walk in what He said and then reveal that to others. This is that trifecta: a living Savior, living Scriptures, and a living Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what He says. Verse number 46, "And He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are what? Witnesses of these things." And that's exactly what those men were doing. But you know what He told them? Remember, they got a living Savior. They know He's alive. He just opened their understanding to living Scriptures. But there was one element that they would need to be the witnesses that He called them to be. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were what?
Yeah.
Verse 29. "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued," until you are clothed, until you are immersed in the clothing of the power from on high. Carrying, they needed a living Spirit living within them. That's the trifecta. If I just use those terms there, of being a living servant with a living witness. You got to know Jesus is alive. His Word's got to be alive in you, and the Spirit has to be alive, empowering you to be the witness that He called you to be. They had Jesus. They had the Scriptures. But Jesus said, you're not going to be an effective witness to me until you have the Spirit in you. But you can't take away the Spirit, nor can you take away the Scriptures, nor can you take away the Savior. That's the trifecta. They got to all be together. That's why the New Testament tells us, don't be drunken with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. And it also says in Colossians, let the words of Christ dwell richly within you. See, we need the unction that comes from the Spirit from on high. We need the understanding that comes from the Scriptures. And we need to know we have a living Savior living with us. And when we have that trifecta going on in our life, that's when we are those witnesses that are effective of being the people, the missionaries in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we see. This is what you see going on right now in Acts. You see a living Savior. You see living Scriptures. You see a living Spirit at work within them. And they just can't stop them. They turn the world upside down. Amen? And the same thing applies to you and me today. We don't need the hoopla. We don't need, not to say that our methods and things we do, we want to be all things to all men that we may win the more. That's the aim. As Paul said, when I'm with a Jew, I relate to the Jew so that I can see the living Savior and the living Word and the living Spirit get a hold of them. I want to see them delivered and set free. When I'm among the Gentiles, I see where they are. I try to relate to them so I can bring a living Savior, the living Word, and the living Spirit to them as well. But you ain't got to be flashy, and you ain't got to be dashy. You got to have a trifecta working in you, or you ain't going to be of any value to anybody, nor to the kingdom of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Got to have it. Those three things. Excited about a Savior.
Amen.
Delighted about His Word. And led of His Spirit. And wham, bam. God's going to put you in people's lives. And He's going to change people. Amen?
Amen?
He's going to get a hold of them. And that's what we see happening right now. Will everybody like it? That's obvious. A lot of people didn't like it. But I want to tell you, there's going to be those Gentiles. There's going to be those folks out there that says, I got to hear more. Tell me more about this. And those that God is drawing and moving and doing something with, that the Spirit has already sent, like old Zacchaeus and Cornelius and all them, you know what? God's already been at work. He done sent ministering spirits of angels. They already destined for salvation, and He's already prepared them. He's just sending you to them to go tell them the story of what He's done. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, what a blessing. And one person is worth it. Old Philip left a citywide crusade. Things were happening. People getting rescued every day for that one soul out in a desert who would carry that message into Africa. Amen?
Amen.
Just one. Just one. Remember that woman at the well? That been married a few, well, she wasn't married. She had a few live-ins over the years. Just that one. Jesus said, no, you go on in the city and get something to eat. I got something else to do. There's that one woman. Just one. You see it time and time again. One soul comes in the kingdom at a time.
Each one.
And if they're valuable to Him, that one's valuable to us. Amen?
Amen.
Valuable to us. Just one. Just one at a time. One at a time. One at a time. Father, we thank You tonight. Bless You. We praise You for Your revelation, making these things alive to us. As the song we started out singing, we want to see You. We want You to become alive to us, our bread of life. That You make the truth, the Scriptures, make them known to us. Because they're about You. We get to know You when You open our understanding to comprehend them, that they're about You. That You just equip us and enable us and empower us and strengthen us in that deliverance You've done, but that we can share with others what You're doing. But we've got to have Your touch of Your Spirit of your work upon us for it to be effective. So that's what we ask for us, that we see you and excited about you, excited about your message, and excited about the mission that you've given us to accomplish, and just sharing you from day to day. We love you and praise you and ask you to be with these we've already lifted up tonight, and that you look over our folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.